This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yes, we do. And we don't need to talk about it, right? It's one of the five pillars of Islam. But the conditions of obligation, some of them apply to the mukallaf, the person being addressed by the obligation of zakah. And we said, according to the majority, what? Everybody, even the child and the insane. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa, the child and insane are not addressed by this obligation. We talked about it being obligatory, certainly, on every Muslim. It's not obligatory on non-Muslims. It's obligatory on every Muslim who is free. Every free Muslim, zakah is obligatory on them. But then we talked about, the conditions of obligation that pertain to the assets itself. The assets itself that you own. And last time, remember, we talked about complete ownership, and we spent the whole time on complete ownership, meaning the assets you do not only own legally, but you own in reality. In actuality, you do own the money, you do possess the money, you have control over the money, you can dispose of you could invest the money or do whatever you want with this money. And we talked about different exceptions and so on and so forth. But the one thing that you want to remember is that the principle here is what? You have to have complete ownership of that money. You have to possess the money, be able to control the money. The one practical difference or exception here is that if you luck in your investments by yourself, they are still zakatable. So you put in your money into a bank account, or you put your money into some sort of investment portfolio, and you cannot get it out before 5 years. You did this yourself, voluntarily, lucked in the investment. Any lucked in investment that you do by yourself are still zakatable, even though the money is you don't have complete control over the money, because it is you who decided to not have complete control over the money. Okay, and then we talked about the passing of the hawl, and then we talked about money that you earn during that hawl. If your zakat due date on Ramadan 2nd, what about money that you earned just last month or a few months ago? And we talked about the difference between the different mazahib in this regard. We talked about the position of Imam Abu Hanifa, and that mostly it would be the easier position to follow and the more practical position to follow, that you add everything up and on your zakat due date, you figure out how much you have and you pay zakat on everything that you own on that day. The position of Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad, which is that every increment of money has its own hawl, would be practical. If you inherited or you acquired a large sum of money at one point, but otherwise if you're acquiring small increments of money throughout the year, it would be very difficult to follow the Shafi'i or the Hanbali position in this regard. And then today, inshallah, we will talk about the zakat, what is zakatable, zakatable assets, and we will also talk about the threshold, the zakat threshold, which is a nisab. And both of these are also conditions of obligation in addition to the passing of the hawl, in addition to the complete ownership. So Imam al-Qudam, rahimahullah, says here, وَلَا تَجِبُ الزَّكَاءِ إِلَّا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَنْوَاعِ Zakatable assets. Zakat is only obligatory on four types of property or assets. As-sa'ima min bahimat al-an'am. One, free-grazing domesticated livestock. Sa'ima min bahimat al-an'am. Two, al-kharij min al-ard. That which comes out of the land. That which is produced or extracted from the land. And we will come back to it. Three, al-athman, silver and gold. prices, you know, silver and gold. Four, urud al-tijara, merchandise. Anything else is not zakatable. Anything else is zakatable. So we have only three things that are zakatable, and one is three different types of assets that are zakatable, and one with a contingency, which is merchandise. So if it is not livestock, it is not currency, livestock, or something that came out of the land, that is crops, mined metals, and treasure troves. Crops, mined metals, and treasure troves. These are things that come out of the land. If it is not livestock, if it is not something that came out of the land, it is not currency, gold and silver. And forget about honey, because it will complicate issues. You know, it's controversial in the, you know, although Hanbalis would consider honey zakatable, but, you know, there is nothing traceable, authentic here to make it zakatable. But it will complicate issues for us. So comes out of the land, livestock, and currency. Otherwise, nothing else is zakatable unless it becomes trade goods by your intention. You intend to sell it. And then once you intend to sell it, no matter what it is zakatable. If it is merchandise for sale, prepared for sale, mu'addal al-bay'a, prepared for sale, it becomes zakatable. Even if it was not zakatable by the potential, inherently. It's not inherently zakatable. Diamonds are not inherently zakatable, although gold and silver are. Inherently zakatable, whether or not you intend, you know, that's gold that is not for jewelry. You know, but if you have gold that you do not intend to sell, that's not for jewelry, then it is inherently zakatable, meaning whether or not you intend to sell it. But if you have diamonds, the diamonds will not be zakatable unless you intend to sell the diamonds. Or you intend to sell whatever it is. You have apartments, you have cars. Once you intend to sell them, they become zakatable. Otherwise, are cars zakatable? Inherently, not zakatable. You know, are livestock zakatable? Inherently zakatable, whether or not you intend to sell them. Now, if the livestock become, if the, you know, you have livestock and then you intend to sell them, do you pay zakat urud al-tijara or the zakat of livestock? Urud al-tijara, or zakat of trade goods, zakat of merchandise. If you have, you know, anything that you intend to sell, by intending to sell them, they become merchandise. And the zakat that will be binding in them will be the zakat of urud al-tijara, or the zakat of merchandise. And we will come back to it. So, but when we talked about stocks last time, we said that stocks, if you sell and buy stocks, then you, the zakat that you will pay on the stocks will be what? Zakat urud al-tijara, zakat of merchandise, 2.5% on the total. If you do not do this, if you're not a day trader, if you just buy the stocks, then it's a long discussion that we started last time, and we will come back to, inshallah, in a week or two. But generally speaking, these are the different types of assets that will be zakatable. Free grazing livestock would be the first one. And why did we say free grazing livestock? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Fi sa'imati zakah," in free grazing livestock, zakah is obligatory on free grazing livestock, or binding in free grazing livestock. Sa'ima, you know, so free grazing meaning it goes out to public pasturage and grazes on just like the public pastures. So if it is, if you feed it yourself most of the year, it is not zakatable. According to whom? According to Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad. Who said it would be zakatable? Imam Malik only. Imam Malik only. This is, by the way, interesting. There is like an usuli issue here that is interesting. Can I identify the usuli in sort of apparent inconsistency that is interesting here? Huh? Hmm? Yeah, so... Yes, correct. So it is basically that Imam Hanifa was expected to take Imam Malik's position, and Imam Malik was expected to take Imam Hanifa's position. They were expected to switch. The Shafi'is and Hanbalis were not expected to switch. Why is this? Because there is something called divergent implication, right? Mafhum al-mukhalafa, divergent implication. So when the Prophet ﷺ says there is the zakah is obligatory on free grazing livestock, by the divergent, not the conversion, the divergent implication, then zakah is not obligatory on non-free grazing livestock, right? Did the Prophet say zakah is not obligatory on non-free grazing livestock? He did not. But we understood from by the divergent implication of mafhum al-mukhalafa that it would not be. Imam Abu Hanifa does not really act upon mafhum al-mukhalafa. Imam Abu Hanifa does not act about on mafhum al-mukhalafa. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad, they act on mafhum al-mukhalafa. And not mafhum al-mukhalafa is different, has different rankings. You know, some are stronger than others, and sometimes with the higher rankings, everybody acts on it. But in general, generally speaking, Imam Abu Hanifa does not act on mafhum al-mukhalafa, divergent implication. It has to be convergent implication. The Prophet has to have said it, or it has to be understood, implied, inferred, from the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, but has to be congruent with the meaning, not divergent. So if I say to you, when people come in the morning, allow Hassan and Muhammad and Ibrahim in, and then we have Hassan, Muhammad, Ibrahim, and Ali come in. And then you say to Ali, you will not allow them. Ali was not expressly or explicitly prevented, but by divergent implication. You know, if I know that five people are coming, and I tell you, let four of them come in, and I mention the four, then I am saying, although I did not say it, that fifth should not come in. But anyway, so Imam Hanifa does not act upon this. Imam Malik and Shafi'i does not act upon this in shara, not in qada, not in basically court procedures or anything, not in understanding the speech of people, because everybody acts on this in understanding the speech of people. But Imam Hanifa says the shara has to be explicit. You know, you don't understand things from the divergent implication. The shara has to be explicit. So he doesn't act on it. But here, the Prophet ﷺ said, there is zakat binding on free grazing livestock. And you would expect that Imam Malik and Shafi'i and Ahmad would say, then it is only free grazing livestock. Then there is no zakat on non-free grazing livestock. But Imam Malik did not say this. So you ask Imam Malik, don't you act on mafhum al-mukhalafa? Keep in mind that that's why I said apparent inconsistency. Because to Imam Malik and to Imam Abu Hanifa, they'll come back to you and tell you there is no inconsistency whatsoever. It is your own misunderstanding or limited understanding. Because you go to Imam Malik and say to him, don't you act on mafhum al-mukhalafa? He will tell you, yes, I act on mafhum al-mukhalafa. But here, this word free grazing livestock, kharajat makhraj al-ghalib. It is basically, it came out from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that was the norm of that was the norm of the day. Like, that was basically their livestock was free grazing. So it was not that he wanted to single out free grazing livestock, but that's all they had. They had sa'ima. They did not have ma'lufa, which is the non-free grazing livestock that you feed yourself. They just had sa'ima. So he was telling them the sa'ima. So just like when the Quran says, you know, وَرَبَيْكُمُ الَّتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَاءَكُمْ الَّتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ. So, فِي حُجُورِكُمْ, here, in your laps, you know, your stepdaughters that grew up in your lap. Well, if your stepdaughter did not grow up in your lap, is she still mahram or not? She is. I mean, if she never sat in your lap, if you married her mother when she was old enough and she actually never sat in your lap. But because the norms is that your stepdaughter will grow up like your daughter in your lap, sitting in your lap, then that description was used in the Quran. But here, Imam Malik is saying, this is just like this. You know, it's inconsequential. It's legally inconsequential because it was mentioned because that is what they had. They had sa'ima, they did not have ma'luf. So that's how Imam Malik would come out of this. He would say, yes, I act upon the divergent implication, but I act upon the divergent implication when there is suitability, when there is a reason to make the distinction between that which has been mentioned or specified, free grazing, and that which has been omitted, non-free grazing. But here, I don't see the suitability to separate between them, and I see that this word, free grazing or sa'ima, was used because that is the word that they used for livestock because they did not have the other type where that you fed by yourself. Well, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad will say, well, disagree. We do see some suitability because of the added expense. When you feed them yourself, this is an added expense, and that is why the concession was made, for you, basically, or you were exempted from paying the zakah because you spend the money on livestock, and this could be quite expensive, and it could be a deterrent. If we also impose the zakah, it could be a deterrent for people from, growing cattle and sheep and so on. Then you'll go to Imam Abu Hanifa and you tell him, you don't act on the divergent implication. Why did you act on it here? You generally don't act on divergent implication. Why did you say that zakat is obligatory only on free grazing livestock? Imam Abu Hanifa will tell you, because this was... Imam Abu Hanifa will tell you, because al-asli, the default is what? The default is bara'at al-zimma. Bara'at al-zimma is the default. The default is the non-liability. No one is liable. No one is required to do anything. Al-asli, innu ma fi takleef. Al-asli, innu bara'at al-zimma. No one is liable for anything. No one is mukallaf. There are no obligations. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, there is zakah binding on free grazing livestock. So I said there is zakah binding on free grazing livestock. Non-free grazing livestock, I did not exclude it from this. The default, they belong to the default in the first place. Everything belonged to the default. And the Prophet took out from that default free grazing livestock and made zakah obligatory on them. So no inconsistency here. So everybody will try, you know. So it is one of the examples that should show us that it was really their legal thought was extremely deep. Things were thought out. Things were not hastily just like proclaimed on a whim like this, the sitting like we usually do, you know, sit down and then just start try to babble answers whenever we get questions. They thought out those things very well before they said them. Anyway, so here, zakah, according to the majority now, is obligatory on free grazing livestock. And then al-kharij min al-ard, that which comes out of the land. That which comes out of the land, we'll have a whole chapter for this, but that means three things. One of them is crops, the other one is mined metals, and the third one is treasure troves, if you find treasure. Then he said, well, athman, currency. And he said it athman. He did not say gold and silver. He said it athman, which would give us room to add to gold and silver any currency. In the past, you know, gold and silver were used as prices for commodities. Nowadays, we have this paper money that's pretty worthless. It's used as price for commodities. All of the rulings that apply to gold and silver, or the vast majority of rulings that apply to gold and silver, will now apply to currency when it comes to commercial rulings. You know, wearing gold for men, these rulings will not apply. But when it comes to the commercial rulings, the rulings that apply to gold and silver apply to currency. So riba, zakah, everything that applies to gold and silver applies to all forms of currency. And then he said, wa'urud al-tijara, and merchandise prepared for sale. And then the sheikh proceeded to say, wa la zakat fi shay'in min dhalik hatta yablugha nisaba. There is no zakat on any of this until it reaches the nisab, or the zakat threshold, or the zakatable minimum. Wa tajibu fi mazada 'ala an-nisab bihisabi illa as-sa'ima fala shay'a fi awqasiha. So there is no zakat on any of this until it reaches the nisab. If the value reaches or exceeds the nisab, then the zakat is obligatory on the full amount, except for free grazing and domesticated livestock, for which there is nothing obligatory on that which falls between two brackets. What does he mean by this? You have, for everything except the treasure troves, in the Hanbali madhab, because in the other madhab there are some other differences also. Like the Hanafis, for them also mine the minerals or mine metals. There is an asaf for mine metals. But if you want to remember now the Hanbali madhab, for everything there is an asaf, there is a zakatable minimum, there is a zakat threshold, except for treasure troves. There is no zakat for treasure troves. If you find something, a treasure that was buried, and you find that, then you will have to give 20% of this in zakat, and there is no zakatable minimum. But for everything else, there is a zakatable minimum. So what is the zakatable minimum? So zakatable minimum. So what is zakatable in the first place? The four types are zakatable. So let's say the asset does this is the zakatable minimum, and this is the amount of zakat. So if we say here, livestock, we will come to livestock. So let's defer this until we come to it, because we will come to it in a little while, inshallah. But if you say gold and silver and cash, gold, silver, and cash, which we will use the word currency for gold, silver, and cash. Gold, silver, cash. Gold is what? 20 dinars. What is 20 dinars? 85 grams. Silver is 200 dirhams. What is 200 dirhams? 595 grams. So what is cash? Cash in the Hanbali madhab will be whichever one of the two. But according to contemporary scholars from Majma' al-Fiqh al-Islami and so on, they said it is gold. It is according to gold. It's not according to silver. This is not about right or wrong. You know, it is according to either gold or silver. But Majma' al-Fiqh al-Islami said that gold is the gold standard. Gold is more standardized than silver. Gold is more stable than silver. Gold is a better indication on prosperity and poverty than silver, because the prices of silver vary too much. And if we make the zakatable minimum now based on silver, then a lot of poor people will have to pay zakat, and zakat was not meant to be obligatory on poor people. So they said, if you have cash, see if the value of this cash is equal to 85 grams of gold. Okay? So, but if you have silver, then the zakatable threshold for silver is what? 595 grams, not the value of 85 grams of gold. Because silver has a distinct designated by the Sharia zakat threshold. So you don't tinker with this. You just leave it alone. The issue here has to do with cash. If you have cash, should you have the value of 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver to be called wealthy enough to pay zakat? Majma' al-Fiqh al-Islami, Tabi' al-Munazzamat al-Mu'tamar al-Islami, they said that it is gold and not silver. You go by the value of the 85 grams of gold. What is the value of 85 grams of gold now? And it is 24 karat gold. 24 karat gold. Because you need to figure this out when people ask you. This is where it is coming from. 85 grams of 24 karat gold. What is it now? $39 per gram. Multiply 39 times 85. $33.15. If you have $3,315, on your zakat due date, you're wealthy enough. Keep in mind, you combine trade goods, gold and silver, according to the stronger position, chosen by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. You combine those things together because they belong to one category. So if your zakat, if you have, when it comes to cash in particular, if you have $33.15, you're wealthy enough to pay zakat. Now, how much is 1 gram of silver? 45 cents, multiply this by 595 grams. $267.75. So if you have $267.75, you would be... So that is why the scholars of Al-Majma said that, you know, a lot of people could have this money and they could be dirt poor. Like, it's not that much. So you don't actually require them to pay zakat if they only have $300 in the, you know, all they own. It's not like $300 in their wallet. All they possess in terms of cash is $300. Add in all of their accounts and all of their receivables and everything, and so, okay, so is it clear now why the Majma said make gold the gold standard? Okay, now, what is, when it comes to crops, there are two different types of crops There are crops that are irrigated without effort, you know, they just easy to like to plant and grow and stuff, and crops that are irrigated with effort. Those that are irrigated with the rain and, you know, without effort, 10% will be the rate. Oh, I forgot to say 2.5% here. This is after you reach the nisab, which is the zakatable threshold, you will pay 2.5% on everything you have. He said on everything you have, not just the nisab or above the nisab. So let us say you have $4,000. Because some people, you know, some people may think that I will have to take 3,315, subtract it from the 4,000, and then I pay zakat on 600. Or no, you're paying zakat on everything. You're paying zakat on the 4,000. 2.5% on the 4,000. He said except for livestock. Because when it comes to livestock, if you have 5 camels, one sheep is... You pay one sheep in zakat. If you have 10 camels, you pay 2 sheep in zakat. If you have 7 camels, what do you pay? 1 sheep, just like 5. 8, 9. So between the brackets, you do not pay on the 3 extra camels that you have above 5. The last bracket that you reached is 5. Until you reach the next bracket, which starts at 10, you're paying like people in the last bracket. Brackets apply only to livestock. Brackets do not apply in zakat other than to livestock. So when it comes to currency, you will pay on the total, 2.5%. When it comes to crops, you will pay 10% or 5%, depending on the effort required for irrigation of the crops. When it comes to trade goods, in the madhab, the same will apply, whether gold or silver. If your trade goods reach the nisab of gold and silver, then you will have to pay zakat. According to the contemporary scholars, they said use gold is because it is the gold standard. So if you have 85 grams of gold or worth of trade goods or more, then you will have to pay zakat on your merchandise, and the zakat on merchandise is exactly like the zakat on currency. It is 2.5%. It is 2.5%. What if you have... We said we will not cover livestock here, right? Okay. What comes out of the land is not only the crops, but there are 2 other types that come out of the land. Mined metals and the treasure troves. Mined metals, you extract metals from the ground. Those mined metals, according to the Malikis and Shafi'is, gotta be gold or silver. According to the Hanafis, any impressionable metals. According to the Hanbalis, anything that comes out of the land that has value, even if it is liquid, it doesn't have to be impressionable, would be zakatable. So private companies that own oil wells will have to pay the zakat. Private companies, not states. So in this case, what is the zakat on mined metals according to the Hanbalis? Not the Hanafis. The Hanafis will make it 20%. But what is the, according to the Hanbalis, it's still 2.5%. Mined metals, it's still 2.5%. And is there a nisab for mined metals? Yes, the same applies. 85 grams of gold. 85 grams of gold. And we're saying that the Hanbalis did not say this. This is our sort of contemporary choice. We choose gold over silver because silver's value is very unstable and it will make a lot of people rich who are actually not. Okay, mined metals. And then what else? Treasure troves. Treasure troves. So the Hanbalis figured if you actually found something valuable buried, you know, forget about the nisab. You found something that is equal to, like, worth 40 grams of gold buried. You're just doing this and then find, like, a treasure. Then, you know, you pay on anything. There is no nisab here. Whatever you find, pay. How much do you pay on treasure troves? 20%. Because of the lack of effort, there is you just, it's a complete minna from Allah, ni'mah from Allah. Unlike extracted metals, requires some work. So this is the nisab, and this is how much you pay. Nisab is clear. Zakatable threshold is clear. Now, we did talk about this before when we talked about al-hawl. When do you need to figure out if you have a nisab, and when does, for the Hanafis, which is easier, don't worry about anything. You have the nisab at the beginning of the year and the end of the year. Don't worry about any dips below the nisab in the middle of the year. But it seems that, you know, this is easier, like if you want to apply. But it seems that the Shafi'i and Hanbali position may be stronger, because the point here is that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considering you to be rich. If you stayed above the nisab, if you stayed afloat above the nisab for a year, and now you're rich, now you pay the zakat. But if someone keeps on dipping below the threshold, you know, and you know, you come up and you dip, and you come up and you dip, you're not really considered rich. So for the Shafi'is and Hanbalis, once you dip, you start a new year when you get to the threshold. Once you cross the threshold, you start a new year. So here is the line here, and this is the nisab, and then you're like this. So if you're like this, then okay. So here your year here, your zakat year here, and it ends here. But when it ended, keep in mind, even Hanafis will not consider this to be, will not require zakat from you, because when your zakat due date came, you did not have the nisab. They will not ask you to pay zakat. But for Hanafis, what they will do is, let us say your zakat due day, your zakat year started here, Hanafi. And your zakat due date is here. This is 1 year. Your zakat due date, you're here. You're above the surface here. And you're above the surface here. You dipped below here. They don't care. You know, they will tell you you need to pay your zakat. Shafi'is and Hanbalis will tell you what? Since you dipped, you start your year here. You came to the surface back here. And then you dipped again. So you start here. See if you complete 1 year above the surface. Let us say your year ended here. Everybody will say you pay zakat, because you stayed above the surface for the entire year. This is clear, right? It's easy. Okay, good. Next, the Sheikh talks about the zakat of livestock. Next, the Sheikh talks about the zakat, unless it's disambiguation. Disambiguation? Okay. So let's talk about the zakat on livestock. The Sheikh said here, and I'm not going to, you know, spend that much time, I said, because you guys don't seem to own that much livestock. Bab zakat al-sa'imah, zakat on free-grazing livestock, wa hiya al-ra'iyya, wa hiya thalathatu anwa'. This refers to the free-grazing, domesticated livestock, which is taken to pasture, and it is of three kinds. Ahaduha al-ibl, first camels. Wa la shay'a fiha hatta tabluga khamsan. Fatajib fiha shay'a. Okay. So I'm not going to reread all of this because it's, you got it. So from one to four, zero. Nothing is obligatory. From five to nine, one. From 10 to 14, two. From 15 to 19, three. And that is three what? Sheep or goats. From 20 to 24, four. 25, it will be a camel, not a sheep, once it reaches 25. So 25 to 35, it will be 1 year old, Bint Makhad or Ibn Labun. So 1 year old female, and if you can't find one, then it will be a 2 year old male. And then next bracket is what, 36 to 45? And next bracket is 46 to 60. And next would be 61 to 75, 76 to 90, 91 to 120. Okay, so that covers everything, right? And then after 100, from 121 onward. So from 121 onward, for every 40, you will have to give zakat 2-year-old female, and for every 50, you will have to give 3-year-old female. All of them are females except only here. If you don't find a 1-year-old female, you could give a 2-year-old male. Okay, 1-year-old female is called Bint Makhad. Makhad comes from childbirth. 1-year-old female is called Bint Makhad. Makhad, the word Makhad means childbirth, meaning that her mother is pregnant and about to give birth. Because that's how they figured out their ages. The 2-year-old is called Bint Labun. Bint Labun meaning that her mother has laban, has milk. Her mother is now breastfeeding. She gave birth, alhamdulillah, she's good, breastfeeding. So her daughter is called Bint Labun. Bint Labun, meaning the daughter of a breastfeeding camel. So 2 years old. 3 years, which would be hiqqa. Hiqqa means what? That she is hukka laha an turkab or an tuta. Which means that she is, that she can be ridden. Like you can ride her. So she is big enough to, you know, that you can ride her. That's 3 years old. And then al-jadha'a is 4 years old. And then we said before, الثَّنَيِّ مِنَ الْإِبْلِ is the 5-year-old. That is the one that you could actually sacrifice in هَدِيَ and أُضْحِيَ. So here, from 26 to 45, it will be a 2-year-old female, 3-year-old female. From 46 to 60, 61 to 71, 4-year-old female. Wait a second. 61 to 71, 4-year-old. Yes, correct. And then 76 to 90, it will be a 2-year-old female. Two 2-year-old female. And then 2 3-year-old female. And then after 121, for every 40 camels, you will pay a hiqqa, which is a 3-year-old female, and for every 50, you will pay a jaza'a, which is 4 years old. So when you reach 200, 200 is what? 450s or 540s? You have the choice of paying, it's 450s. So you have the choice of paying 4 3-year-old female camels or 5 2-year-old female camels. Correct? Yes. No one here has camels. Okay, then next one, next type of, before he moves on to the next one, which is cows, he says, وَمَنْ وَجَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ سِنْ فَلَمْ يَجِدْهَا أَخْرَجَ أَدْنَى مِنْهَا وَمَعَهَا شَتَانْ أَوْ 20 دِرْهَمًا وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَخْرَجَ أَعْلَى مِنْهَا وَأَخَذَ شَتَيْنْ أَوْ 20 دِرْهَمًا. If one owes a camel of a certain age but can't find it, he should pay one age level less than it, plus 2 sheep or 20 dirhams, or if he prefers, he may pay one age level higher and take 2 sheep or 20 dirhams. Like you did not find a 3-year-old camel, you could give to the zakat collector a 2-year-old camel plus 20 dirhams, silver currencies, or 2 goats to make up for the difference. Or you could give a 4-year-old. You did not have a 3-year-old. You can give a 2-year-old and give the difference to the zakat collector. Or if you prefer, you could give a 4-year-old and get 2 sheep or 20 dirhams from the zakat collector. You know, but that is the difference in, anyway, in between the 2 and 3 and 4-year-olds. Then he said, النوع الثاني البقر. A second type is cows. ولا شيء فيها حتى تبلغ 30 فيجب فيها تبيع أو تبيع لها سنة إلى 40 ففيها مسنة لها سنتان إلى 60 ففيها تبيعان إلى 70 ففيها تبيع مسنة ثم في كل 30 تبيع وفي كل 40 مسنة. So there is no zakat. Okay. 30 cows. You know, the nisab for cows, the zakat threshold. What was the zakat threshold for camels? 5. Zakat threshold for cows, 30. If you have less than 30 cows, there is no zakat on you. If you reach 30 cows, then you will have to give 1-year-old male or female. That is the only time the male is equal to the female. Every other time, the male is cheaper, so or less valuable. But this is the only time where the male is equal to the female. That's why in camels we said if you have 25, you bint makhad, which means the daughter of a pregnant woman about to give birth, a 1-year-old she camel will be obligatory. And only if you cannot find the bint makhad, you can give Ibn Labun. Ibn Labun is 2 years old, not 1 year old. So if you can't find the 1 year old she camel, you could give the male, the 2 year old male camel. Here in Baqar, for some reason that we believe there must be a wisdom, the male and female 1 year old cow, they're equal. So, tabi'a or tabi'a. Now, if it reaches 40, then it will be a musinna. Musinna in Baqar is like thani. Remember when we said that in Udhaya and Hadi, we said thani, which is basically valid Udhaya or Hadi, is a 5-year-old camel or a 2-year-old cow, right? So musinna and baqar is the thaniy and baqar. Thaniy and musinna are the same thing. So a 2-year-old female cow here, because it's not musinna, it's musinna. Only here, only in this category, only in this bracket, would a male be equal to a female. So 40, it would be 2. Now, what about 50? Same. What about 60? Oh, 60 would be 2 30s. So if it is 60, then it is 2 1-year-old male or female cow. What about 70? 70 will be one of each. 70 is 30 plus 40. So 1 1-year-old and 1 2-year-old. What about 80? 80 will be 2 2-year-olds. What about 90? 3 3-year-olds. What about 100? You figure out the maximum that would be binding on you here. What is 100? 40 plus 30 plus 30. So 1 2-year-old and 2 1-year-olds. And so on and so forth. Okay? Is that clear, cows? Those of you who have been. What about sheep? What about sheep? النوع الثالث الغنم. ولا شيء فيها حتى تبلغ 40 ففيها شاة إلى 20 و100 فإذا زادت واحدة ففيها شاتان إلى 200 فإذا زادت واحدة ففيها ثلاث شياه ثم في كل 100 شاة. Okay, sheep. If you have 39 sheep, how much is the cat you will you pay? None. Once you have 40, and sheep and goats are the same thing, by the way. Cows and buffaloes are the same thing. Sheep and goats are the same thing. Okay? You have 40 sheep. How much is, how much? One. Sheep. You have what? And this is 40 to 120. Right? 40 to 120. And once you have one more, that's 121 to 200. Becomes 2. 201 all the way to 399 is 3. And then if you have 400, it is 4. And then afterwards, you know, it's just like one per every per every 100. So here, the hadith makes it sound, you know, some people can be confused about this bracket, but this is what it is. From 200 to 399, it's a very large bracket. So three from 201 to 399. But then, after the 201, you know, because it says here, إلى مئتين فإذا زادت واحدة ففيها ثلاث شياة ثم في كل مئة شاة. Up until 200. If it is more than 200 by one, meaning 201, three will be binding. And afterwards, it is one sheep per 100 sheep. So, 400 would be 4.
Yeah,
but 401 is 4. 499 is what?
500.
Yes. So 505, 606. 599 is still 5. Yeah. What does it say? Because, yes, 120 to 300 is 3. And that is usually what how it is written like. But then you figure that after this it says one more for every 100. One more for every 100. So if you have 350, it is one for every 100. So it means 3 still.
Or
Oh, 1 to 40. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is no, absolutely. Yeah, it is not 1 to 40. It is 40 will be 1. 40 will be 1. All the way up to 120. 120 to 200 is 2. 201 to 300 is 3. And after this, it is 1 per 100, which still means that 399 will be 3. Because you, after this bracket, you will give 1 sheep per 100 sheep. Then he said, ولا يؤخذ في الصدقة تيس ولا ذات عوار ولا هرمة ولا الربة ولا الماخذ ولا الأكولة ولا يؤخذ شرار المال ولا كرائمه إلا أن يتبرعوا به. Okay, so a male goat may not be taken as zakat or a one-eyed animal, a very old one, a mother that has just given birth and is nursing her offspring, an animal about to give birth, or a fattened beast that has been singled out to be slaughtered. And then he said, وَلَا يُخْرِجْ إِلَّا أُنْثَ صَحِيحًا إِلَّا فِي ثَلَاثِينَ مِنَ الْبَقَرِ وَابْنِ لَبُونَ مَكَانْ بِنْتِ مَخَادْ إِذَا عَدِمَهَا إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَشِيَتُهُ كُلُّهَا ذُكُورًا أَوْ مِرَادًا فَيُجْزِئُ وَاحِدٌ مِنْهَا. Which means neither the worst nor the best kind of property is to be known. We did cover this. He must only give as zakat healthy female animals, except for the 30 cows and the 2-year-old male camel instead of the 1-year-old female camel, if he cannot find one. However, if all his sheep are male or sick, it would be acceptable to pay just one of them. He is only obliged to pay a 6-month-old jaza'a, from the sheep, or a 1-year-old female, which is thaniya, from the goats, and the recommended age level of other kinds, which is as per this chart, unless the owner of the property chooses to pay an age level that is higher than what is obligatory. If they are all young, it is permissible to pay one that is young. If they are a mixture of healthy and sick, male and female, and young and old, he must pay a healthy, mature female. Its value should be an average of the whole flock. If it is a mixture of foreign and Arab animals, cows and buffaloes, goats and sheep, good and bad, fat and thin, he should pay one of average value. So, in other words, unless, you know, it is permissible to give the male animal, which is in 2 scenarios only and 1 scenario, which is darura. The 2 scenarios where you give a male animal is for 30 cows, you can give a 1-year-old male or female. And the other scenario where you could give a male animal as your zakat is for 25 camels. 25 camels, what is obligatory is a 1-year-old she camel. If you don't find her, you could give a 2-year-old male camel. If you don't find the 1-year-old female camel. What is the other occasion where you could actually give male camels or male beasts in zakat? If all of your flock is males. If all of your flock is males. Then you could give a male. What about your flock being a mixture of sick and well, male and female? You have to give the well, a well female, because وَلَا تَأَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْ. You know, you should not take of your flock the worst to give to Allah for the sake of Allah. So you get like a female who is healthy or well, and give it as zakat. But someone may say, but is this fair? Because, you know, I have a mixture. I have my 40 sheep are a mixture of, you know, sick and this and that, male, female, sick and healthy. But they'll tell you a healthy female, that is not your best healthy female or not your best sheep, but that will average in value or will be comparable to the average value of your flock. So you have, like, you have 40 sheep, for instance, that are of different values. Some of your sheep are $20 or like $200, and some are $300, and some are $600, and so on. So you will give a healthy female that will be $350. The worth of it will be about $350. Still healthy, still female, but will be, is it clear? It's clear, I don't need to. This is clear, right? Okay. I'll take the questions later, but this point is clear. Average, take the average. And likewise, if you have buffaloes and cows and you have like different types of beasts, then the one that you will give will be equal, comparable to the average value of your flock. So you could do this even mathematically. You could say, you know, I have, you know, 40 sheep. The price of this is this. The price of this is this. You combine them all, and you divide them by 40. You combine the value of all of them all, you divide them by 40, and you come up with the average $334. And you give one that is equal to $334. The last point that we'll finish in just a few minutes. وإن اختلط جماعة في نصاب من السائمة حولا كاملا وكان مرعاهم وفحلهم ومبيتهم وكان مرعاهم وفحلهم ومبيتهم ومحلبهم ومشربهم واحدا فحكم زكاتهم حكم زكاة الواحد وإذا أخرج الفرض أو أخرج الفرض من مال أحدهم رجع على خلطائه بحصصهم منه ولا تؤثر الخلطة في غير السائمة. If a group of people share joint ownership of the same nisab, zakatable threshold, free grazing, domesticated livestock for an entire hawl and their fields for pasture, stud animals, barns, milking sheds, and watering holes are the same. Watering holes in the madhab is controversial. Then the ruling on their zakat is as if they were one person. If one of them pays the obligation from his property, the others should reimburse him according to their share. Joint property has no effect except on free grazing domesticated livestock. So you have, we together have 45 sheep. We together have 45 sheep. You, okay. You and I, we have, let's say you and I have 95 sheep. 95 sheep. I own 65, you own 30. They have the same shepherd, they go to the same place, they go to the same pasture, they go back home to the same place, everything is the same. So we basically share the expenses. So the expenses are lighter in this case. We share the expenses. Now, do we pay the zakat? Do you pay the zakat on 65 and I pay the zakat on 30, which means I'm not paying zakat? Or do we pay zakat on 95? Okay. So who said you pay zakat on 95? Shafi'i and Ahmad. Shafi'is and Hanbalis said you pay zakat on 95. Malikis would agree with them only if each one of us had nisab. Like it was, the split was 40 and 55. If the split was 40-55, the Malikis will say You will pay the zakat like it is one entity. The corporation is one entity here. We're not looking at you as separate owners. We're looking at you as a corporation. The one that is being addressed by the zakat here is the corporation. Which means what? Let us say we have 130. And 130. Let's say my share is 110, your share is 20. Your share is 20. So we both have 130. And we said the zakat is what? 40 to 120 is what? One sheep. We have 130, so we pay two sheep. But if we pay it separately, you will pay one, I pay none. Okay? So sometimes joint ownership will mean that there will be more zakat. Sometimes joint ownership will mean what? There will be less zakat. It depends on the brackets. Depends on the brackets. But in general, joint ownership is consequential. Consequential means what? Means now the zakat, the corporation will be addressed by the zakat, not the individuals. And this would be according to the majority. If each one of us had nisab, according to Imam Malik, according to Imam Shafi'i and Ahmad, whether or not we had nisab. Like, if I own 20, you own 110. You own 110. And we pay two sheep in zakat, then you will come back, and then the two sheep came out from your flock. From your flock. Then you will come back and to tell me you are responsible for what?
One.
Huh?
One.
No, not one.
Huh?
No, because you know, we paid two on 130. So I am responsible now for whatever the math that you will use now. So it will be 2 times 20 divided by 130. So 4 divided by 13. 4/13 of a goat or a sheep. That's my responsibility. Huh? No, why you pay 3? You'll pay 3 from 201. Hmm? What? Oh, there is one level wrong here. So it is, yeah, just corrected us. There is one level wrong. So the nisab is 40. 40 to 120 is 1. 120, 40 to 120 is 1. 121 to 200 would be 2. 201 to 300 is 3. And then afterwards, it is 1 per 100, which means that still 399 would be 3. Okay, so here what we have here is, that is what happens. Then you go back and you tell me you're responsible for this. Now, the Majma' al-Fiqh took the Maliki position when it comes to corporations. They said corporations that want, they took the Shafi'i position, aside from livestock. Imam Abu Hanifa said joint ownership is not consequential in anything, including livestock. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i and Ahmad, and Imam Malik, they said it is consequential in livestock. Imam Malik said if each one of them has the nisab. Imam Shafi'i and Ahmad said regardless. What about corporations that are not in livestock, such as, you know, Apple, for instance? Other corporations, you know, just corporations in general, any corporation, any basically enterprise. Is Khulta consequential in this regard? Only Imam Shafi'i said yes. Only Imam Shafi'i said yes. So when you have a company like Apple that wants to pay zakat, for instance, then the Majma told those companies that want to pay zakat on behalf of their shareholders, the Majma told them, exclude the people who have less than the nisab, because they are not addressed by the zakat. They took the Maliki position. They said, exclude the people who have less than the nisab and pay zakat on behalf of everyone else. And in this case, they don't need to worry about paying their zakat on their shares or stocks in your company. Is that clear? Yeah. So that would be easier if the companies do this, if they take the Shafi'i position with this caveat, you know, with the, which is that, like the Maliki said, in livestock, it will only be applicable to people who own more than the nisab. If they do this, it will be easier for everyone. Sorry for the delay.